Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this beautiful place, beautiful convention. And we pray that you may guide us with your spirit as we get into this topic. Help us to understand, help us to focus. Lead my words to say what you want me to say. Skip something, add something as you see fit. And pray that we may be inspired and that we may understand how we can share the truth with people who has not yet seen it. Thank you that you will lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few months ago, I was on an airplane back from Portugal. I had been teaching at AFCO Europe. And when I was at this airplane, I started to talk with this guy. He was just a young Norwegian guy. And he was in his 20s. He had no religious background. And it turned out to be a very good conversation. Actually, it was kind of interesting. I didn't really have to initiate. He was kind of initiating the conversation. It was like, I don't know. Anyway, what happened was eventually, and quite soon, I realized, like, this guy seemed actually quite interested. I didn't answer so much in the beginning, but he started to ask about this mission school and this and that. And turned out that I basically had a Bible study there and then on Daniel 2 with him. And he was really, really amazed. And then afterwards, he asked many questions. He was very interested. And I kid you not, for maybe like one third of that whole 3-hour trip, he had his mouth open in amazement. And he was like, really? And this, I was not supposed to be at this plane, actually. And both of us kind of felt that this was a special meeting. And one of the highlights of the time of this on the plane was when, you know, we did a high five after he accepted my challenge to really give God and the Bible an honest chance in his life. So this was I think this Bible study was one of my top three, or at least top five most, I think, powerful Bible studies I have experienced. Anyway, so we will be talking today about how to give a Bible study. But before we do that, I kind of thought it would be interesting to just very briefly talk a little bit about why giving Bible studies. I think it's always nice to kind of mention a why before talking about a how. So this is kind of, I guess, how my brain likes to work, at least when I present and so on. So what would you say, just like short, I think there are several good reasons to have Bible studies with people. Any suggestions? What would you say? There are several nice blessings that comes with giving Bible studies. Anyone? One reason is basically to be an answer to prayer, to be able to share the truth with people who are seeking and wanting to know. Yeah, so that's one reason. Other reasons, what would you say? Why give Bible studies? Yeah, Rafael.
People come closer to God.
Yeah, help people come closer to God. Exactly, that's one of the aims. Other thoughts? Mm-hmm. I think that's also an interesting, good reason. It's actually a very developing thing ourselves. We learn, we grow. You become, it helps you in whatever you will do what you're involved with other things. You know, you learn communication. You learn to communicate with people, to talk. If you're a presenter or speaker, like, it will help you. Like, it will help you pretty much anything you will do in the future. It will be helpful skills that you learn. Yeah. One interesting, we'll not read all the things you have on your handout here, but we'll use it though, so have it ready. We'll use it throughout the workshop. But a couple of the first things that are on there, you know, it talks about the second one. It talks about how basically we are born again by the word of God. That's basically what it says. And Jesus said, of course, unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. So the word of God is essential in conversion generally. This is like a key component, and in the Christian life in general. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So this shows that, you know, the word of God is essential. And many people, they need help to understand. They wouldn't pick it up themselves. So basically, we are bringing the medium that God has, you know, chosen to reveal himself, to help people, to tell them who he is. And so this, it is a key part in the Christian life and in conversion generally. One more thing I want to say a little bit about, or actually one thing is that giving Bible studies, this is an important part, that this is something God calls us to do as an important part of our work as the priesthood of all believers. And for instance, notice quote number 6. It's very interesting. Let's read the beginning there. It says, every church should be a training school for Christian workers. Its members should be taught how to give Bible readings. So basically, every church, people should learn. The members should learn to give Bible studies. But yeah, I guess I'm seeing my friend here is smiling a little bit. It's not exactly how the churches generally today are. We have some good examples, but this is something, I think this is a work that pretty much all of us can and should be involved in. This is an important part of the work of the priesthood of all believers, to give Bible studies. And one reason that we did not mention is that this is an exciting work. It's a very meaningful, and it's really, I told you the story in the beginning on the air and it was really a joy. Like, I was very happy after, you know, this experience. Like, wow, this was a powerful divine appointment, you know. And it's a nice work, isn't it, Jonathan? He has done quite a bit of Bible studies, yeah. So that's one. So, but it is a way God calls us to work. Not only that, as I mentioned briefly in kind of the introduction, welcome, just come in, is that I think also this work, giving Bible studies, opening the Word of God to people, will play an important part in the finishing of the work. Yes, so talking about, I believe this work will be an important part in the finishing of the work. Now notice this powerful, powerful quote. You have it on the handout. If someone is missing a handout, yeah, I think all of you got it, I think. Quote number 7. Notice quote number 7. Here it says, "How can the great work of the third angel's message be accomplished?" This is asking a very good question, a good question for us to ask. Basically, how can we finish the work? This is what is asked here. And notice the answer. It must be largely accomplished by persevering individual effort, by visiting the people in their homes. So he doesn't say it will be accomplished by this big evangelistic campaigns. Sure, those kind of campaigns also have their place. But a key part in the finishing of the work is basically individual efforts, people witnessing in the home, individual members, and not just this powerful big preacher. Sure, God can use powerful preachers, but even more important, maybe you could say, is the individual active members, the priesthood of all believers. And I think an illustration that I really like that illustrates it very well. Imagine with me that you have like a super good evangelist, powerful evangelist, like a super Mark Finley or something. Yeah? And every day, this is just an illustration, but to make a point, every day this guy, he's reaching 1,000 people for Jesus, to accept Jesus. Every day, he's reaching 1,000 people to accept Jesus. So in 1 year, 365,000 people has been reached. But on the other side, over here, you have one active lay member, a carpenter or mechanic or something. But he, in 1 year, he's reaching one person for Jesus. Reaching one person for Jesus. But not only that, he also teaches that person to do the same. So after 2 years, both of them reach one more person. After one other year, it goes from 2 to 4 to 8, right? It's doubling all the time because they are not only coming into as members, but they are also taught to reach other people. So basically, you see, this is the picture you get. After 1 year, the super evangelist, he has that group. This group over here is 365,000 plus one, the evangelist himself. And then after 3 years, 1 million. Over here, it's 8 people after 3 years. Now, question. How long do you think it takes before this group over here is larger than this group over here? Any guesses? 30 years is a pretty good guess. 21. Yeah. So here you see, after actually 23 years, it's pretty much the same. This group is slightly smaller than this group. But after 24 years, this group is like pretty much double the size, right? And after, didn't get it on the screen there, but actually it would take, it was a couple of years since I did this calculation, so it might take a little bit longer now, but since the population of the world is growing slightly all the time, right? But for this guy over here, it would take 19,542 years to finish the work, to reach everyone. Like in this illustration, yeah. But on this side, it would take 33 years. 33 years. So this is basically illustrates the truth of the quote number 7 here, right? How can the great work of the third angel's message be accomplished? It must be largely accomplished by persevering individual effort, by visiting the people in their homes. Each one reach one. And if you look at quote number 9, just the bold part of the quote there, it says, hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the word of God. And we could read on this, talking about these powerful things that will happen in the time of the end. And the servant of the Lord saw how active lay people all over the world, they're going into the homes, they're opening the scripture, they're giving Bible studies, basically. So we have been told, I think we have good reasons to say that giving Bible studies, individual members involved in this work, it will play a key role in the finishing of the work. So this is one reason why this is an important thing and a good thing to talk about. God can use us, I believe, in this work, and it's a great work. So we'll have a break. So it's two parts. The first part that we will look at is basically, I will share some reasons on how to basically get started to give a Bible study with someone, because we need to start before we can give. So I will share some ideas of how to get started, how you actually can start up a Bible study with a non-Adventist, how you can actually come to that point. Because if you don't get there, it doesn't matter how good we are with the rest, right? So I thought it would be good to start with that, how you can get started and how you can keep going. So I will basically share seven advices on this note, and I think it will fit to take a break pretty much after that. And then we'll move on into more the actual study. And I have been working as a Bible worker for several years, a couple of years up in the north of Norway. I studied with, I don't know, maybe like about 70, 80 different people in 2 years. Quite some different people, and I had quite some Bible studies also before I started as a Bible worker. As I said, I was a student and different things, and also afterwards. So I've been able to start up Bible studies with a lot of people. And I've used, I guess, a little bit different methods to try to come to that point. And I will share some of the things I've learned that I found helpful personally in starting up Bible studies with all kind of people, different backgrounds. Okay, so number one, some of the things I will share with you are quite simple. Maybe they sound like too simple, but actually I think they are, even though they sound simple, they are actually very important and not as much a given as you might think right away. So the first one is one of the simple ones in a way, but there's different ways of doing it, and that is basically ask. Ask. The problem is we don't do this enough, and we don't do it in the best way. If we did this more, we would have more Bible studies going on. This is one of the most important reasons why there are not many more Bible studies going on. We need to ask. And the thing is, sometimes we think, you know, oh no, this person, he's an atheist. He would never say yes. Or this person is a committed Muslim. He would never say yes. We think, yeah, maybe he might say no. But he might actually say yes. And we're a little bit afraid. We don't like rejection. No, we don't like someone to say no. But really, the worst thing that can happen kind of is like they say no. It's not too bad. You know, like you can at least give it a try sometimes. And what I have found is that many times you actually get surprised to find which person are the interested ones. I've seen it in school when I've been studying. I've seen it when I've been working as a tent maker, as an electrician. I've been surprised sometimes to find which person are the most interested ones. Sometimes you see it on Facebook when you see what they like, but not how they are at work. Sometimes I was going door to door, and I came to this particular door, and on the door, it said this thing, it said, "Welcome to hell." And it was kind of maybe tempting to just pass that door and go to another door, you know. But I thought, well, I guess I can give it a try. And out comes this person with dark black hair and tattoos. And I was like, and I was actually, this particular day, I was just very straightforward. Sometimes, you know, this is not as, I think me and a friend, we are straight to the point, like just ask, we said that we're looking for people who want to study the Bible. We just had a very short, we did just, yeah, you wouldn't reach everyone that way, but people that are really ready, you might reach, you know. And to my surprise, when we asked this question, she actually said yes. So basically, the point here is we need to ask. If we ask more, we will get more Bible studies. And so this is the first thing. Now, but then the question comes, how should we ask? I think there are different ways you can ask and that can be appropriate and good in different situations for different people and so on. A couple of suggestions that I have used at different times. One could be to ask for a favor. You could say something like, you know, I've been attending this workshop. I'm kind of in the process of learning how to give Bible studies, and I need someone to help me. Could you help me? Could I give a Bible study to you? For some people, some people that would, if you would ask in a different way, they would say no. But if you ask like this, they would actually say yes. Sometimes people are a little bit embarrassed. They don't want to, you have probably noticed this, they don't want to know that any, that they don't want anyone to know that they are interested in Christian things. If you're alone with them, they might ask you about your faith. But when other people are around, they wouldn't. If you ask this way, they kind of have an excuse to study with you. If someone asks, what are you doing with this guy? No, I'm helping him. He's learning to give Bible studies. He's going through these studies, you know, asking for a favor. And he feels maybe better. He can kind of hide behind it as well. One time we had this journalist that came to Impact, and I think he was actually interested, but he was hiding behind his camera, pretending that he was writing for the newspaper. And sometimes, you know, people need that, and you can give them that by, for some people, this is very effective. On a similar note, one time I was going to record some programs at Lifestyle TV, and I went to this lady and I said, to this person, I said, I asked her if she could help me because, you know, there you have a timer and everything. So I wanted to practice to kind of know how long time my material took. So I asked if she could help me with that. And it worked with her. It worked, so we did. So this is one way. Another way you can ask is you could say something like, maybe we can sit down, I can share some thoughts, tell you a little bit what I believe. You can share what you believe. It's kind of more like back and forth. For, you know, if you meet a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or some people from other faith, it might be a smart and effective way to ask. Another way you can ask is something like topical, something you, if there is, what I mean with that is, if someone is going through a tough time in their life, going through suffering, maybe you can study about, the Bible says about suffering, or if someone is really stressed, maybe you can share some verses connected with stress, or basically share some study or share some things from the Bible. You can ask them if they're interested to hear what the Bible, which principles the Bible has to communicates with us, or to us when it comes to raising children or whatever. Like, you can ask them on a particular topic that they might be interested in, and then they might say yes. But if you ask in general, can I study the Bible with you? They might say no. So that can be a smart way also to ask. And that sometimes you would get yes, but otherwise you would get no. Another thing, I think we need to sometimes convince people a little bit. You know, you need to say, sometimes it's good to try to convince them and say, like, hey man, you can give it a try. If you don't like it after one study, you know, we can quit. It's okay. It's worth, why not, like, try to. The thing is, you know, people don't know, they don't know what a treasure the Bible is. They might have preconceived ideas, they might be a little bit scared. Sometimes, some of you know Jan, for instance, when I was studying with him, he now starting to become a pastor, he was a student at Matheson. When I had the first Bible study with him, he tried to find all his excuses. He didn't want to study with me, but I kind of tried to overcome the excuses and convince him to sit down. And it worked, and he got interested and eventually got baptized and so on. Sometimes you need to convince people a little bit. So I guess there are different ways of doing that. One time I told this guy, I said, like, I tried to get to study with him many times, but it never worked. He was a little bit interested, but he never managed to sit down and study with him. So at one time I said to him, I had this 100-crown bill, and I said, like, hey man, like, why don't we sit down and study one time? If you feel it's a waste of time, I will give you this money. I will give you this money, I tell you. But and then suddenly it becomes a win-win situation, you know. If he doesn't like it, he gets 100-crown. If he likes it, it's better than 100 crowns. So it actually worked. I tried for quite some time. I never got a study with him. We sat down and I did not have to pay him the 100 bills. So that was good. So, you know, we need to just be creative. It might be different ways and you need to, whatever, something. Maybe, oh, someone asks you for help and say, yeah, I can help you. If we can sit down and I can share some things afterward. You know, sometimes you just need to be a little bit sneaky, you know. They don't know what a treasure it is. So we need to try to be a little bit persistent. We need to be like, hey, I really want to share this with you, you know. And then you will get many Bible studies that you wouldn't get otherwise. We shouldn't be, you know, the Bible says being bold as a great reward. We need to be a little bit more bold than we are, you know. You can be too bold sometimes, but that's another. Anyway, most of us are, I guess, too little bold usually. So one thing before we leave the first point of asking is, generally, I think it's better to ask people in person. Asking in person is the best, generally. Asking by phone is the second best. Writing is the third best, most of the times, I would say. It's easier to react someone when you write or when you speak on the phone than if you sit face to face, you know. So that's in general, I guess, in soul winning. Okay, so that's number one. Ask. It's simple, but it's an important step to get going and to start many Bible studies that wouldn't have existed otherwise. Second point, also useful advice. That is simply don't ask. Now, some of you are kind of scratching your head and wondering, what is he talking about? This guy is kind of confused. But what I mean with that is, basically, sometimes I think the best thing to do is not to ask them, but basically just start sharing. And you know, sometimes if we would ask a person, sometimes that person would say no. But if you would start sharing, he would actually be interested and he would listen and he would start studying regularly and he would be baptized. Sometimes this is the case, you know. They don't know what, they think they have a very wrong conception of the Bible. If they had the right one, they would have said yes. So sometimes the best is just to start sharing. And you can do that in different ways. It could be show a little clip on YouTube. You have these Digma clips, short think videos, different things you can look up online that are kind of a teaser, send it to someone, look together with someone, and then maybe it leads into a conversation where you share the Bible. Or you can share maybe a story, a testimony, a little bit of testimony that kind of leads into reading some verses, or it could be one story that I like to use, just to give you an example. Some of you read this book, A Thousand Shall Fall. It's a powerful testimony from the Second World War. This Adventist, he is a, it's an amazing story. It's a very inspiring story. Anyway, he was faithful. He never killed anyone. He, during the war, he had angels protection. It's quite an amazing story. But what happened in the end of the war was that he actually sat down with some of his co-soldiers, some of his superiors, and he had a Bible study with them. He showed Daniel chapter 2. And basically he told them, based on this prophecy, Hitler, our Germany, our forces, he was a soldier in the German army. He said basically, we will not succeed. We will not be able to establish this kingdom that they were trying to establish. Can you imagine? That's quite bold, I would say. You could be killed, probably, or put in prison or something for sharing, like demotivating the people. But amazingly, these people, they asked the historians, they checked it up and said, wow, it fits all of these prophecies. It fits with history. And they were so amazed, they were so convinced that this is actually true. So they, instead of killing him, instead of putting him in prison, what they did was that they started to save up, little by little, as much as they could, save up food, save up fuel. And suddenly, when the war was over, when they quickly had to leave Russia, and they had to go back from Russia to Germany, it was very cold, and many German soldiers actually died in that process. But every single one in his group, in his, I don't know what the name is, the battalion or whatever, in this guy, Franz Hassel, in his group, every single one in his group survived. Basically because his superiors believed and acted according to the word of God. Isn't that a powerful story? So sometimes what I do, you know, I would share a story like this. It's an interesting story. When you just start sharing a story, people listen, people like stories. And they don't know the ending until you come to the ending, and then you have already preached a sermon to them. So sharing stories is powerful. Illustrations. Jesus did a lot, didn't he? So anyway, what you might do is, like, you share his story, and you get their interest, and then you might ask them, hey, do you want to see this prophecy? It's really cool. Then it's much more, you know, likely that they might actually say yes. Or sometimes you might not even ask them. You might just say, hey, let me show you. This is really, you need to see this. And you just take up the Bible, and you just start sharing. I think I did this on the plane, the story I shared in the beginning. I think this is what I used. I think I told the story first. And I think I asked him, actually. But I think he said yes. He was very positive, though. So, anyway. This is, sometimes don't ask. And you will get into powerful divine appointments and studies. Yeah. So, many different ways you can do that. But just trying to give you some ideas. Okay, number 3. This is also an important one. Pray. Prayer is powerful. It's essential in soul winning, in giving Bible studies. Prayer is very important. We should pray, of course, before as we try to start up a Bible study, as we try to reach someone, and also then when we prepare the study, during the study, after the study, prayer is essential in effectively leading people to Jesus. My dad, he was working as a physiotherapist, but then he got inspired that he could also be, you know, we are a priest of believers. We can all take part in sharing the gospel. And he started to pray. Sometimes he had spiritual conversations with his patients, but he wanted kind of to have something more. So he started to pray that God would give him someone to have, show him someone to have a Bible study with. And he was praying and praying. Several weeks passed. But then one day, basically, he had a good, really good conversation with someone as he was a patient, as he was working. And this led into a Bible study and 2 years of Bible studies and, and, And God bless, she accepted Jesus. And then he also got to study with a group of young people in the church and so on. So he was praying for opportunities, and God gave opportunities. When we pray, God will show us people we can witness to, people we can share the word with, people we... I was working as a kind of as a Bible worker or a spiritual work at the Norwegian Ekebyholm, Tyrifjord, some of you have been there. And there was this particular guy, I tried to like... tried to start having Bible studies with him, but he was kind of like, oh, maybe I like, he was one of the cool guys, I wasn't interested, you know, but I tried to like reach out to him, and I tried to, I had been asking a couple of times, and then I thought, I will ask him one more time. I was like, sometimes you need to persist a little bit, you know, and I thought, I will ask him one more time. So I prayed, I saw him in the library sitting there doing some homework, and I prayed and I walked over to him, and I was just going to ask him how he was doing, because a couple of days ago, I think, we had played soccer, and he had had a quite bad injury of his knee, so he had to go to kind of the hospital, and he was on crutches. So I asked him about the knee, and then he told me how... He had went to the hospital there, and he was in crutches, and he was really hurting, and he was laying to sleep, and he was had all this pain, and then he said, and then I prayed, and I was surprised to hear those words from him, because he wasn't like the spiritual guy, he wasn't like, yeah, whatever, but then he said, and then I prayed, and the next morning when I woke up, the pain was gone. And I imagine, I've been praying for him, I've been trying to several times start to have Bible studies with him, and I was like, okay, I will ask him one more time. I don't want to nag people too much, you know. So I walk over to him, and I walk over to him basically to ask him last time to have Bible studies, and he shares his testimony. So of course, you know, I asked, you know. And this time he said yes. And several of his cool friends that weren't interested, we started a Bible study group with like 4 or 5 people basically, because of this miracle that God did. And you know, when we pray for people, when we make ourselves available, God will work in people's life, and he will open doors. So pray. It will essentially in the beginning, in starting up Bible studies, and also as we give Bible studies and try to reach hearts. Okay, this leads us to point number 4, or advice number 4. So ask, don't ask, pray, number 3. Number 4 is simply do not pray. Now again, you might be scratching your head and wonder what I'm talking about here. But I heard this story from an evangelist who had an evangelistic campaign, a big evangelistic campaign in Paris, Amethyst evangelist. His name was Beach, Pastor Beach, and he knew French. There was lots of people in this big hall, and they were ready to start a meeting. And so he walks up to, you know, to start to speak, and he said, you know, let us all stand up so we can begin the meeting with a prayer. This is what he said. And then he starts to pray, and he did what sometimes preachers do. He had a pretty long prayer. And as he opened his eyes after the prayer, half of the audience was gone. And, you know, I know that it says in Steps to Christ, page 91, it says that never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Before opening its pages, we should ask for enlightenment. I think this is an important counsel. And I usually start Bible studies and sermons and all of this with prayer. But I don't believe we always have to pray together with the person when we start, before we witness to a person. I don't think you have to pray together with a person before you quote a scripture from the book of Proverbs. I don't think you always have to pray together with the person. You can pray before. You should pray before. But you do not always have to pray together with the person before you share something from the Bible. We don't see Jesus praying before he witnessed to the woman at the well. We read that Paul prayed before he preached several times in the book of Acts, right? Basically, he was in court, though, so it was a little bit different. But we don't read that he prayed, but he was basically preaching. We don't read. Generally, it's good, I think. But when I was at the Rise, we did lots of door knocking in the 3.5 months I was there. And in all that time, I think I met like 5 atheists. Pretty much everyone believed in God. But one of these 5 atheists, I met him, and we had a good talk with him, and eventually I managed to convince him to basically study the Bible with me. It was hard, but he finally said yes. So we walked around the house, we were sitting down, getting ready to start the Bible study, and then I asked, hey, is it okay if we have a short prayer before we study the Bible? And when I said those words, he stood up, he backed off, and he did not want to study. Apparently, he had a had a bad experience with a Pentecostal or something, a Pentecostal meeting. And when I said that, he was scared. And I tried to convince him. I said, "Okay, it's okay. You can sit down. We don't need to pray." I said, "But no, I never got a Bible study with him because of this." And I think sometimes, especially when you just start sharing, you know, you don't have to ask, "Can we sit down and study the Bible together?" You don't always have to ask it that way. Sometimes it's better just to start sharing. You don't have to always sit down, "Can we pray?" I think generally, sometimes I do that even the first time. It depends on who it is. But I've experienced one time I came to this guy, I was Bible working in the north. He was invited, basically we met a guy. He was not an Adventist, but he was interested. We had a really good talk with him. Then he invited a bunch of his friends because he wanted them to hear what we had to share. They came there. They didn't know us. They didn't know why we were there. They didn't know that he was trying to want us to witness to them. But when one of the guys realized, he was a young Norwegian guy, when he realized why we were there, like, he got scared and he walked to the other part of the apartment. He didn't want to be with us. But then eventually he came back and I actually managed to talk with him. And then I started sharing, showing him Daniel 2 and stuff without asking, "Can we sit down and study the Bible?" I didn't pray. I learned a lesson from the US. If I would ask him, I'm pretty sure he would just back off like the other guy. So I just started sharing with him. And he was so convinced in one Bible study, he was convinced basically that this book is true, there is a God. I started studying regularly with him. He connected us with a bunch of friends that we started studying with. And I think it's quite likely that it wouldn't have happened if I asked about praying with him beforehand. So I think we need to be a little bit careful. But what I did do with him, though, and other times when I've done this, next time we study, or sometimes often in the end, I pray. And the next study, I tell them before, normally I think it's important to pray before we study. Is it okay if we have a short prayer? And usually it's fine. But for the very beginning, when you get the interest, when you start sharing, it might actually close a door that otherwise would have been open. Okay, number 5. Couple more points and then we'll soon take a break before we get into the actual study. Number 5 is come close to people and minister to their needs. Come close to people and minister to their needs. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. We are called to seek. We are called to go, not to sit down. We need to go. Jesus went where people were. He spent time with people. He connected with people. And so we are called to do as well. Get to know people at work, in school. Invite people maybe home for dinner, for a social evening, to get to know them with the purpose of trying to connect with them and eventually witness to them. Maybe go on a mountain hike with them or a camping trip or something. Like a care group, more social thing. Like when we try to come close to people, connect with them, that's usually what needs to take place before they will be ready for studying the Bible. And when you do that in a good way, in a smart way, you will get many opportunities to share. So come close to people. So we see that Jesus came close to people, he mingled with them, and then he also met their needs. They saw that he was someone that cared for them. You know, sometimes you have this saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But when they know how much you care, then you can also share. You know, sometimes we stop with the caring, but we shouldn't. That's a good start, but we shouldn't stop there, you know. I have one story just to illustrate the power of this. Probably heard similar stories, but when I was Bible working up in the north, I was studying with this lady, and she had a friend that she wanted to join the Bible study too. So several times she invited her, and we were praying for her, and at least 3 times this lady said that she would come as well, but she never showed up. So we tried again and again, week after week, we prayed for her, and they were friends, you know. She tried to invite her, but it didn't work. But one day, we heard that this lady had a need. She was quite old. She wasn't so healthy and stuff. So she needed someone to help her. Like, usually she had people cleaning the house for her. But for some reason, for several weeks, I think, they had not done it. And so she was living in her house and no one was cleaning it. And we heard about it and we said, like, "Hey, we can clean the house." So me and my friend that were Bible working, we went over there, we cleaned the house. And she was very happy, I tell you. When we did this to her, she was very happy. And she said, she really appreciated it. And she said to us, "You must be sent from God." And next Bible study that we're going to have with her friend, guess what? Finally, this person came. We tried for so long, it never worked. But finally, we helped her. And finally, she came. And now she started to come week after week after week. When you come close to people, when you minister to their needs, when they see that you care about them, you're a nice person, you will get opportunities. Also, when you pray, look for opportunities. God will open doors and hearts for you to share the word of God with them at the right time. Number six. This was actually from the north there where I was Bible working. Northernmost town of the world, Hammerfest. That's why they call it anyway. It's a matter of definition. Point number six, advice number six. Schedule it, get a time soon. The thing is, it's one thing to get someone to say yes to a Bible study, but it's another thing to actually start studying. I guess often if you can do it right away, that's nice, but sometimes you can't do it right away. But it's good to do it soon, especially when there is an interest, when someone has an interest to study, it's important to do it soon. We need to strike while the iron is hot, to use that expression. This is an important principle in soul winning, in evangelism, when it comes to also giving Bible studies. And you can be sure if someone has an interest, if they have said yes to study the Bible, you can be sure that the enemy, the devil, he will do everything he can to try to make that not happen, right? So but you need to try to get into the Word as soon as possible so they wouldn't change their mind, so they start to see the beauty of the gospel and the power of the Word, right? So schedule a time and do it soon. And as soon as you have had one study, try to schedule the next one and try to get going soon. At our first impact trip in north of Norway, we had a health expo. And one of the guys that came to the health expo were meeting their needs, right? He came there and he was really happy for the health expo. He wanted to stop smoking, he said. He ticked off everything. He was interested in health lectures, in also Bible lectures and Bible studies. He seemed very interested, and he actually told us, it's an answer to prayer that you are here doing these things in this city. I was like, wow. When I moved up there a couple of months later to do follow-up work of the contacts we have gotten, I was remembering this guy, and I thought, this is one of the most interested guys. I look forward to meet him and to study with him. But I will never forget, when I came to his door to invite him for the Bible study group we were going to start, he said the following to me. He said, I had expected to hear from you sooner. He didn't tell me much more, but he never came to the Bible study group. I tried several times. I was there for 2 years working with three different people. When the next person came, I sent him to the door to try to ask him. I sent the third person. I was a little bit sneaky. Tried to give him several chances. It never worked. He was so interested. It's an answer to pray that you are here. But we came too late. We need to learn to strike when the iron is hot. Kind of on a similar note, the last point here before we soon take a break, point number seven. This was actually a picture of this guy coming into the door there. Welcome, Daniel. He's sitting there. Was also part of the impact trip there. okay, so point number seven here, it's on a similar note. When you start studying the Bible with someone, how to maintain it, how to keep it going. One important thing here is make it regular and keep studying. This is an important thing, I think. You know, if you haven't noticed, I think human beings, we are habit creatures. Do you have more handouts, or did you get? Oh, okay. We human beings are habit creatures. How many of you have like a set place in your local church that you sit? Anyone? Yeah, I see some people smiling. Or a set area, so maybe not exactly the same spot, yeah? Can I see your hands? Most of you, at least, yeah. I think this is how many people are. I remember I was preaching in this church in the north of Norway one time, and I came back 1 year later, planning for an impact trip, the same church, 1 year in between, and I tell you not, at least 50%, I would say maybe 75% of all the members there, they sat like at the very same place as the year before. Seriously, we are habit creatures, you know. And the thing is, it's good to know, and this is something I think we should use to our advantage. And this is why I think as soon as you get started with someone, try to get another one. Try to schedule the next one right away. And try to get going with several studies. I would say when you start studying the Bible with someone, the first like 3-4 studies or so are the most important ones. If you get through them, then you have kind of gotten into a habit. If you have had like 3-4 weeks when you have met them, then you will probably continue for quite a while. So really pray, especially in the beginning, try to make it a habit. Try to make it a regular thing. And this is also, you know, when they have an interest, we need to take advantage of that. Because if it goes too long, the interest might fall away. So it's to strike while the iron is hot, try to make a good habit and take advantage of the fact that we human beings are habit creatures. Try to make this a good habit that they enjoy. Yes. So let's read a couple of quotes or look at a couple of quotes on this note. Let's let's see here. I think that should be on the second page probably. Yes. So quote number 14, we'll not take time to read all of it, but here it's talking about, if you just look on the bold part, it's talking about in soul winning and stuff, or it says in the beginning, many are convinced of sin and feel the need of a sin pardoning savior. But then it says, you know, it's talking about the right moment. In the end of the quote, it talks about the golden opportunity passes and they have not yielded, and they go farther and farther away from the truth, farther away from Jesus, and never take their stand on the Lord's side. So here we learn there is a right moment in soul winning. There is a golden opportunity. Also, the next quote talks a little bit about this, quote number 15. It says, when persons who are under conviction and are not brought to make a decision at the earliest period possible, there is danger that the conviction will gradually wear away. And the end of the next quote, 16, if they were impressed and convicted and did not yield to that conviction, it is harder to make an impression on their minds than it was before, and you cannot reach them again. So it says, if this golden opportunity passes, basically it says, it will be harder for you to reach that heart later on, because their heart will be hardened. It's a little bit like if you work with your hands. If you're not used to working with your hands, you may get quite some pain on your hands when you work, you know, physically. But when you get used to it, the skin gets thicker, right? And you can handle it. Similarly, when we resist the Spirit, when God is calling on us, when God is trying to reach us, if we resist every time, it will be harder to get through to the heart. So by God's grace, we need to learn to see when people are interested, to see when that golden opportunity is. We need to learn to strike while the iron is hot, and to take the opportunity to sit down with someone, to study with, to be a little bit persistent, to make it happen, not let time go on, and to keep studying while the interest is there. So this is important to, as we start studying, that we actually will continue as well, that we keep studying. So, kind of to repeat this point, so 7 advices to get going with Bible studies. Ask. Lots of studies doesn't happen. That would have happened if we simply dared to ask. Number 2, don't ask. Sometimes just start sharing. Number 3, pray. God will do miracles. He will open doors. He will lead you in contact with people, in friends. He will lead events in their lives that will prepare them to say yes to your question at the right time. Number 4, don't pray. Sometimes we should share without saying, hey, can we sit now and study the Bible and pray together? Sometimes that's fine and it's good. I like it when we can do that, but maybe not the first time always. Number 5, come close to people and minister to their needs. Get to know them, connect with them, spend time with them, try to help them, show them that you care for them, pray for them. Number 6, schedule it. Get a time soon when there is an interest. Make it happen. Make it a priority. Sometimes maybe you need to sacrifice to do it. Sometimes you have to say no to something else because this is very, it's a matter of life and death. Sometimes you just have to skip a meal or whatever to make it happen, you know, because they have time here. Do it. It might save a soul, I tell you. Number 7, make it regular and keep studying. So, yeah, has this been helpful, you think? I think if we use these things, I'm sure God has people he wants us to study with. And this has been very helpful to me, and I think it will be helpful to you too. So now we are going to go into the actual study, and I will share 12 lessons. Some of them I will share quite briefly. It's kind of like, yeah, I don't know, like in a way I wish we had more time, but anyway, I thought even though we don't have time to cover some of these things so much, it can be good to mention them at least. And we'll learn more and more as we, Bible studies is something you learn more and more, you know. So I will just introduce you to some ideas that is good to have in mind as we try to do it as good as we can, better and better. First lesson is make it practical. When you have Bible studies with people, it's important to make it practical. Ellen White writes, a religion which is not practical is not genuine. I like it to put it like this. This applies to preaching, it applies to teaching Bible studies. We need to put legs on our lessons and feet, feet on our faith. Legs on our lessons and feet on our faith. Anyone who talks about preaching, you should always have a practical lesson. And I think in Bible studies, we should always try to have something practical. In, can someone tell me what it says in John 17, 3? This is life eternal. They may know you. One true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So basically, this is like the core of the Christian message, right? It's a living relationship. It's practical Christianity, a living relationship. So the main thing as we study the Bible with people is to basically lead people to such a relationship. So one of the most important things we can help people with is practical godliness. Help them to know how they themselves can read the Bible and study the Bible. Teach them to pray before they study the Bible, right? Teach them to how to pray generally. Teach them to serve him. Like, so this is something, of course, we want to share information and tell them doctrines and so on. But the most important thing is actually to lead people to practical Christianity. So I think it's good to always try to have something practical as you study. Even, but you need to adapt it. If you study, of course, with an atheist, the practical lesson might look a little bit different, right, than if you study with a committed Christian already or someone that is from another denomination. But try to have something practical. You know, it could be if you study on Daniel 2, you could maybe say something practical on prayer, for instance. You know, Daniel prayed, right? Like, sneak in some practical lessons throughout the studies, even though you also study on more topical. So this is very important in Bible studies and preaching. Number two, make it personal. This is also important. It will give you more power to your ministry and Bible studies. One important way we can do that is through sharing testimonies. So a key part of God's calling on our life, or what he wants us to share, is basically our own experience, what we have learned, what we have found, how we have seen answer to prayer, how we have seen that God's promises are true in our lives. And it says, for want of this, the world is perishing. The next quote, we'll not read all of it, but it says in the end, that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. This will be the most powerful thing you can share many times. Your own experience, your own testimony, even though you don't have like a super crazy testimony, it still has power when you share your personal experience. And it's different ways. Sometimes we think of testimonies as our conversion story. It's not only that. It can be anything. It can be an answer to prayer you share. It can be how you have seen, if you study about death, how you have found hope in the promise of another life, right? Of the resurrection. It can be something like a personal experience. We need to learn to be able to share our personal experience. Now, why, shortly before we move on, any thoughts? Why is testimonies a powerful thing? Any comments on that? Why do you think it's a good thing to have testimonies or to share testimonies? Makes it more real. Yeah, they see that this is a real thing. It's not just theory. This is real. Yeah. People can relate, exactly. If they say, wow, this is your life. This could be my life too. You know, like, yeah, so it's relatable. It's real. Other thoughts?
They can't disagree.
It's hard to disagree. It's hard to argue a testimony. That's a very good point too. So it gives more power. It gives, and it's also interesting, isn't it? People, if you share, when you preach, the most interesting part is many times when they share their own experiences, a preacher, right? It's often the most powerful. And similar, I think, if we're able to witness to people, when we can share a little bit of our own story. But it can still give quite some extra power that you wouldn't have if you did not have that included, you know? So this is a good thing. Number three, use stories and illustrations. This is also very good in preaching and teaching and giving Bible studies. Jesus used a lot of this, didn't he? All the time. And in the Bible, we find stories, we find illustrations, we find pictures. God is a smart communicator. Actually, we are told that Jesus never spoke without using an illustration. It says in Matthew 13:34. Without a parable, he did not speak to them. So basically, he had a reputation to always use illustrations, to always use pictures and stories and these kind of things, yeah? Why do you think this is a good thing, to use stories and illustrations? Any thoughts on that? Yeah, Rafa? Easier to understand. Kind of, you flesh out the point. If it's only like, if you don't have that, it's like very theoretical, you know? Other thoughts? Why is it helpful with stories and illustrations? Catch attention, you know, when someone, it's interesting always when a preacher shares a story, right? We want to hear, you know, and like you say, it's something we can remember many times. Or maybe every time you see a specific object, you will think of the lesson. That's what Jesus did, right? He did lots of this. Everywhere you look, you see something that reminds you of a lesson from Jesus, right? And then it can be a blessing not only once, but maybe for the rest of their life, God can remind them of the lesson from this, you know. So in square number one, right, this is just an illustration. Oh, well, yeah, maybe not an illustration, it's not the right word here, but... So this is about different kind of illustrations. So imagine square number one. In that square, that is when you have illustrations from the listener's life. That's square number one. Square number four, it's when you have an illustration from your own life, or a story or an illustration. Square number two is a story or illustration that is kind of in your life and in the listener's life as well. It's kind of something that it's in both of your lives, right? And square number three is something that is not in your own life and it's not in the listener's life. Now, which square do you think is the most effectual illustration or story? Two. It can depend a little bit, but I think many times... Number two, I think, is usually maybe the best one. If it's something that is in your life, it can even be personal, it can be a story, but it's also something that they can really relate to, right? It will be the most effectual, usually. And of course, sometimes if it's only in your life, it can also be powerful. If it's only in their life, it can also be powerful. But generally, if you never share something that they can relate to or they can recognize, you know, it's maybe not the best. If they are really interested in soccer, for instance, if you can maybe use an illustration about soccer or something, they will really, oh, yeah, they get it, they remember it, yeah. So, like, if you find illustrations from their interest as you get to know them, and you know, if you live up in a fishing village in the north, maybe you share something about fishing. You know, like, Jesus did that too, right? When he spoke to fishermen, he said, I will make you a fisher of men. So I think that is the most powerful illustrations and story when they can relate to it, they can connect to it. They things they see in their everyday life, you know. So it's good to try to find it there and to try to adapt illustrations when possible. But yeah, anyway. So try to make illustrations relevant, practical from everyday life. And generally, I think illustrations should usually illustrate some of the main points we try to communicate through a study or a sermon. It shouldn't be just be sub points. It can be a distraction sometimes. But you want to try to illustrate some of the main points you try to get across through a study. Then that's the best illustrations, I think. Anyway, moving on. Number four, ask questions. Like, as you give the study, as you share truth, also don't only share things, but also, you know, do it, use questions as you share. Why do you think this is a good thing? Jesus did a lot of that as well, actually, when he was talking with people, communicating with people. Yes, it helps them understand what they read. Otherwise, they might read it and they don't really get it. Yeah, Joel? Yeah. They are engaged. Yeah, they wake up. Maybe like they need to think and they need to, yeah. Other thoughts?
Makes the answer their own.
Right. So they need to, and to say it in your own words, you need to think about it and you need to understand it better than, yeah. So that's some helpful things. It helps them to pay attention, get interested, think. They need to think more. And when you think more about something, you will remember it better as well, I think. And it also helps you. When you give studies with someone, it's helps you to make sure and to understand that they really get what you say. Sometimes in the end of the study, it can be good to ask them, you know, did you understand what I was saying here? Did you get the point? Sometimes it can be good. Very good question also when you study the Bible is, according to this verse, when will Jesus come again? Or who will see Jesus when he comes? Or whatever. Then it's also like you point them to the word. You help them see that this is in the word. This is not just what I am saying. But one important thing, it helps you to see where you are. Because a couple of times, sometimes I've been surprised when I studied the Bible with people that I thought they got more than they did, you know. But when you ask, you will find out if they don't get it, you know. And that's a good thing. You need to find out. Otherwise, it will not really change them if they don't really get it. So ask them something. Maybe in the end of the study, does it make sense? Have you understood what we looked at? And before you have an appeal or something, to that they admit that they actually understand it, it's a first step to then act on it. Yeah. And it reminds me also, I think we don't want to ask questions in a way that they feel stupid. We don't want to ask a lot of questions they can't answer. But we shouldn't make it too complicated. Sometimes we can ask, it's good. Sometimes it's okay if they can't answer, you know, but don't ask them about too many details in the prophecies that they can't, you know. But simple questions, but it's still helpful. It makes them think. And you have thought about it before. So, but yeah. Okay, so that's good. That's important. Ask questions. Number five, we're moving on, is, yeah, when you give Bible studies, know the material well, know the study well. I think this is, it makes a big difference. Usually it's more interesting, isn't it? When you see that someone really knows something they're talking about, it's more interesting to listen, it's more engaging, it's more, you also get more confidence in what they share, that it's true, it's actually real, they believe it, you know. Makes many times a greater impression, I think. It's not like you have to memorize everything word by word, but try to know it well, try to internalize the message, try to be free. If you have a little bit of notes and so on, that can be okay, but try to not be too bound by it. Try to be able to... I heard Derek Morris, he's a good preacher, he said before preaching, at least walk through your sermon at least 5 times before you preach. And I think it's a good... You don't need to memorize the sermon necessarily, but if you walk through it 5 times, you know it pretty well. I try to do that, maybe not always 5 times, but at least 2 or 3 times I try to walk through my sermons, and I have quite some notes usually, but I'm usually quite free from it because I really try to prepare a lot. So I'm trying to be very, very, like really internalize it. And then I think that's a good thing. And one thing you can do, also this is what we learned at the Rise, Jonathan and me too, I think it's when you have these Bible studies, what you can do, and you can take notes, write some notes in your Bible, then it looks like you know everything by heart. So you're cheating a little bit, but it's for a good cause. So what you can do is to write some notes. What, for instance, you can do, we have this symbol, maybe two letters for like which study it is. So GC, for instance, might be the Great Controversy Study. So you have a circle, GC in the circle, and then you have the next verse in the study and the verse before. So then you see where you came from and you see where you will go next. So then you actually, it's not too hard. If you have a simple study and it's not too long, you can actually almost know it by heart. With just a little bit of notes, you only have your Bible and you can manage okay. Especially when you have done it a couple of times, you will know it pretty well, you know. So that's something that can help. And it still looks like, yeah, I think it is, we need to be a little bit sneaky sometimes as well. But I think it makes a difference. And even, I think also something like memorizing scripture is also powerful. It's powerful generally for our own personal Christian lives, but if they see that you even know scripture by heart, you say, like, this person, he really likes the Bible. He really believes in this, you know. It will give more confidence. So try to know it well. I think that's a powerful thing. Now moving on. Number six, kiss. This sounds a little bit strange in Swedish, but it's a good point. This is basically an acronym standing for, this is something we learn, we're learning how to give Bible studies. On every sheets of, you know, when we had a different studies with all the text and stuff, it always said this on the top: keep it simple, saint. Keep it simple, saint. So basically, keep it simple. That's the point. Keep it simple. Try to make it simple. Communicate simply so that the people you study with understand. Try to avoid the language of Canaan. Yeah. Sometimes we have these Adventist phrases and words, and a person on the street, he wouldn't understand what justification means or sanctification. Try to avoid this. Try to make it simple in words that they can understand. This is important. You know, I don't know if you never, ever experienced, when I was learning the trade of an electrician, I visited some companies, and some of these people were telling us lots of things, but they were talking about so many things. I didn't know the phrases. I didn't know the lingo. You feel so lost. You maybe talked with a mechanic or something. Like, it's just like, I hear what you say, but I don't really understand what you're saying, you know? And this is the feeling probably many people can have if they hear about Christian stuff. So try to use common language, keep it simple, and also to guide them through the study, especially if they are very fresh with the Bible. Help them maybe find the place in the Bible. It's nice if they can see it themselves, but help them to find there, guide them to the right place in the Bible. And also, I don't know if you've probably seen this slogan sometime, less is more. This is also important when it comes to teaching, preaching, Bible studies. It's better many times to leave them wanting more than to that they feel a little bit, they liked it, but it was a little bit much, you know. Even though they are interested, it might be good to stop, because if it's too long, maybe, yeah, they liked it, but they don't have time, and they will say no next time, and try to not go too long. I think a study maybe 40, 45 minutes, somewhere there, can be a... It depends a little bit on the person too. Some people can't concentrate as long and so on. But try to not, yeah, try to keep things simple and not go too long. Number seven, appeals. This is one of the most important parts of studies, but this is one of the, I guess, more challenging ones, but it is something you will learn better and better as you get into something like this. But appeals is important in preaching, in giving Bible studies, and it doesn't have to be too difficult. But I think it's important that it's in there. David Ashrick used to tell us, he used to say that I would rather have a D sermon with an A appeal than an A sermon with a D appeal. In other words, I would rather have a really powerful appeal, an OK Bible study, right, or sermon with a powerful appeal, than a powerful sermon with a bad or not so good appeal. Yeah, it's like one of the most important parts. But it can be quite simple, I think. For instance, if you study a great controversy, the appeal could be maybe something like this: based on what you know about the Bible, about this great controversy between God and Satan, which side would you like to be on? So like, based on what, it's quite simple. It's quite simple to answer that, but still they kind of get used to getting into the habit of responding to what they hear. So it's not only information, right? It needs to become practical. One of the first guys I started with him week after week after week, but I didn't make appeals. This was before I went to a mission school or anything. I hadn't really learned how to give Bible studies. And suddenly we came to the study about baptism, after we studied many studies. And of course, I think when you study about baptism, you have to make an appeal. It makes sense. So I made an appeal, but he was surprised. I was surprised that he was surprised. Well, like, I expected him, you know, we studied and he heard what I said, but I expected him to say yes. But he was surprised by the question because I hadn't had no appeal up until then. He wasn't into the habit of, you know, responding. This is very important. So make appeals. It can be simple, but at least something. If you study Daniel 2, for instance, it could be an appeal could be something like this. It depends if it's someone that is not so much into the Bible. You could ask them maybe after a study like this, are you willing to give God and the Bible a real chance in your life? Could be like this. And try to challenge them to do that. It doesn't have to be difficult, but this is an important part. And this is one of the parts that is, you know, why you need a person sometimes. Sometimes they could read on their own, right? But if you are there, if you sit down with you're a friend of them, and you sit down and you ask them, you encourage them, wouldn't you want to give God, wouldn't you want to at least give it a fair chance in your life, you know? Like, it will help them to actually prioritize doing that and to actually make decisions, you know, and to receive the message. So that is very important. And Ellen White talks a lot about that too, like the importance of it. Anyways, make appeals and learn to do it better and better. Okay, moving on with a question. What is it that lead to repentance? If you remember a Bible verse, you will know what I'm looking for. What is that lead to repentance? Yeah. What do you say?
The word of God.
The word of God?
No, the love of God.
Yeah. In Romans 2:4, right, it says the goodness of God. So basically the love of God, the character of God. And yeah, so that's another way to put it. It leads to repentance. Romans 2:4. It's not necessarily understanding the facts who is the Antichrist or that the 2,300-year prophecy, right, ends 1844. That can be useful information. But that in itself is not really what leads to repentance, to a new life, to conversion. But it's the goodness of God, it's the love of God. So basically the eighth point is also very important, is focus on the goodness of God, on the love of God, on Christ and Him crucified. Anyone know what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:2? Paul writes, "For I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That doesn't mean he only said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." That was the only thing he said from the pulpit. No, no, no. If you read the letters to the Corinthians, he preached quite some different topics, right? But what it means is that this was the focus. This was the center. This was the main thing he tried to reveal, the love of God. When you look on the early church, again and again and again, when they preached Jesus and him crucified. They lift up Jesus. That was the center. That was the center of attraction. That was what converted the heart. And that's what we need to have as well when we share. So I think we should always try to share Jesus, share something about God's character. That's basically the points of the doctrines. I like to look upon it as a puzzle. Every doctrine is kind of like a piece of the puzzle that reveals one aspect of the character of God. And when you have that in mind, when you kind of, that is one of the main things you want to convey, is basically what hellfire tells you about God. He himself was willing to go through, you know, basically hellfire, to die the second that my soul is is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Like when you try to connect what it tells us about God, that's when the power will come. And just to give an example of that, Daniel 2, I think probably all of you know Daniel 2, right? One way you could do that with Daniel 2 that I like to do, to try to center it in the love of God, in Jesus, is kind of in the end of the study, I like to say something like, you know, you read in the days of these kings, God will set up his kingdom. You have come to an end, we say, we live in defeat. And in these days, in this time, sometime during the divided Europe, God will set up his kingdom, right? And then I start to tell them about the kingdom of God. I say, you know, this is great news. This is amazing news. God's kingdom, it would be much more luxurious and beautiful than Babylon. Even though, you know, with all this gold and everything, right? You have talked about that before. It will be much bigger, much larger than Greece, the kingdom of Greece. It will be much stronger and more powerful than the Iron Monarchy of Rome. And you share all of these things like this is an amazing place. You want them to go there, right? And then you say like, but the best thing with this kingdom is the king of this kingdom. Jesus, he is not a king like Nebuchadnezzar that kills his servants when they don't fulfill his wishes. Jesus is a king that was willing to leave the throne of heaven, to leave that wonderful place with perfect peace and joy and happiness and love, to come down to this earth, to live the life of a servant, to live a poor life and die a terrible death, so that we that have turned back towards him can get a chance to become a part of his kingdom. Well, when you do this, and then you might ask something like, I want to ask here, do you want to be a part of this kingdom, or whatever you want to make the appeal that particular time. But many times when you can have a powerful study or sermon, but when you center it in Jesus, it just gives much more power, usually. That's usually, many times, sometimes we reach the mind, but when we preach and share the word, we should try to reach both the mind and the heart. And centering it in Jesus or sharing a story, that is something that takes it from here to here, and from people to want to receive it and live it out. Yeah. So this is something, again, all of these things, you know, you learn it more and more as you do. You'll not do it perfectly when you start, but try to tell people, show people basically what it tells us about God. This is the simple part of it and an important part. Okay, moving on. We could read many quotes. We'll not take time to do that, I think. Number 9, this is one of the most important things I could tell you. Have a learning mindset. One of the most important points today. I like this, to put it like this. As long as you are green, you are growing. As soon as you are ripe, you start to rot. As long as you are green, you are growing. As soon as you are ripe, you start to rot. Thinking of, you know, fruits and stuff. It's a good principle. And I think there is much truth to that. You know, Ellen White writes that in choosing men and women for his service, God does not ask how much eloquence they have, right? How much training they have. He says, do they walk in such humility that I can teach them my ways? Can I put my words into their lips? Will they represent me? It's a key. If we are humble enough to learn, to grow, we can learn a lot. We might be unlearned, but God can teach us on the way. You know, I talked with some people in the break. You asked me a little bit. I don't have any theological degree or anything. I went to a mission school, though, but I started giving Bible studies before going to a mission school. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I've tried to always learn and grow, and I'm still learning. And I would say I've been giving Bible studies and preaching for like 12 years, but I'm still learning. I tell you, I'm still learning. So this is an art you will learn more and more always, I think. And we should have a learning mindset. Try to learn from people that are good in giving Bible studies. If you have the chance to join someone that have more experience, to sit down with them as they give a study, sometimes you can learn much more than that than many, many hours of teaching, you know. I would love to sit down with Jonathan one day and study with him. He has been doing it for quite some years, Bible working, and Don as well, and see how they do it and, you know, learn from that. I know Don, he was sharing when he was sitting down with Louis Torres, and he was so blessed by us looking how he observed and how he connected with people. And so that can be one way. Learn from people, learn from evaluation, your own thinking of how it went, you know, evaluate yourself afterwards, how the study went, learn from people's feedback, and then learn from resources, sermons, training online, books, materials that can help you become more efficient in giving Bible studies, in soul winning. This leads us very naturally to point number 10, which is use resources. On the last page, page number 3 in the handout, we can take a look at that. I will mention some powerful resources that you should check out and get your hands on. The first one here is it's a web page, Swedish mainly, I guess Norwegian as well, some English too maybe. Roparna.se, there you can get Bible studies in Sweden, like a good series of Bible studies to start with, also in Norwegian, you have it there. And also some training, I think, yeah. And English, yeah, great, perfect. It's basically the Arise studies, right? Adapted a little bit, yeah. So that's the next one, Arise Bible Bootcamp Studies. This is the studies we learned when we went to our mission school, which is a good series of studies on the different doctrines that is made basically for you to give to other people. Or like, it's a text, it basically shows how you can share it with a friend, you know. So you have audio files there, I think, as well, in Swedish. And for those who know Swedish, though. So that's some great resource. What do you say? Oh yeah, nice. So that's a really good study to start with, or good studies to use, I think. That's basically the ones I've used most mainly when I've given Bible studies. And I think especially when you start to give Bible studies, sure, eventually you can make your own studies, you can make adapted studies, you can share some verses and so on. But generally, I think it's good, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Especially in the beginning, try to take some material that is out there, and then you maybe eventually you make more of your own, you adapt it more. But it's good, at least especially in the beginning, you learn, you get into how it is to give Bible studies, to use some good material, and that is very, very helpful. So moving on, then Amazing Facts, study guides, and historical lessons, they have some good material. Some of them, though, are more, the main purpose of it is for people to read themselves. So they're not like as much adapted for you, like how you can present it to someone. But they are good still. You can find good text and maybe illustrations and stuff in there that you can use when you share. And maybe you can give, if you get a hold of them in your language, you can give something like this maybe after you studied on the same topic. It's a little bit different maybe than how you studied. What else? Then you have some other Bible studies there. Studying Together from Mark Finley. This is a great little handbook. I think there is actually also an app. Might have to pay a little bit for it. I haven't used it yet, actually. I have the small book. It's basically different texts, different Bible studies in a small book. And it also tips on different faiths. It says a little bit what they believe, what we have in common. It suggests which studies are good to start with, which topic to start with, which topic to wait with. It's a small little handbook from a good evangelist that helps you to reach different people from different backgrounds. Yeah, that's true. Probably at the Skriftstedet, the Matteson booth. Yeah, that's a very good resource. It's worth the money. Sharing in sermons is something that could give you inspirations, maybe stories, illustrations. Amity's Fundamental Beliefs book can also be helpful. Then you have a book. This book, it's a nice book I've used. Great Stories for Gaining Decisions from Louis Torres. He's a great soul winner. Very good stuff. This book is, basically stories that you can use for appeals on different topics. Stories that are you can use in sermons and other things as well that can help you to take it basically from the head to the heart. What else? So the first part is basically Bible study material that you can use. And then the last part here in the bottom, then become equipped for giving Bible studies and personal evangelism. For instance, for those of you who know Swedish, if you become a part of, I think it's a closed group, but Jonathan would accept you into it, or Roparna's Facebook group on Facebook. Jonathan has some good, he has been teaching basically on how to give Bible studies, and he has gotten into some things we haven't really time to cover so much. For instance, on appeals, he has gained more in depth on that one and some other things. So this is some useful training to learn even more than we have time to in 90 minutes to cover, right? Then you have, this book is very good, Gaining Decisions for Christ, from Louis Torres. On many mission schools, this is like a mandatory textbook. It's quite short, it's easy to read, but it's very practical, very useful. Next book as well, Persuasion by Mark Finley. Very practical, good on soul winning. These books are very good to you don't have to read everything before start giving Bible studies, but try to learn it as much as you can. And, you know, it's good material, very good material. Then you have audioverse.org, lots of good sermons and in general, but also training on this topic as well. For instance, Dan Miliares here, he has some really good workshops on personal evangelism and also giving Bible studies that you can find there from earlier conventions like this and from GYC Europe conference as well. Derek Morris has a powerful workshop on powerful biblical teaching actually from the conference here in 2012. Very good, very good. It's on preaching, but many of the principles are basically the same. It's, you know, in a way, giving Bible studies is preaching, but you don't stand behind a pulpit, but it's still preaching. So it's, you can also learn many good things from there. So that's some very good resources. So have a learning mindset. Don't reinvent the wheel. Learn, try to learn more and more and grow more and more. Resources can also be good when you give Bible studies with people. Sometimes maybe you watch a DVD together on creation and evolution or something. Or you give them a book or something to read in between next time, until next time you meet them, you know, to get them more into the word, more into understanding different things. Use the resources. Even to get studies, it can be shared. Give them a little pamphlet, a little booklet, or borrow them a DVD, and maybe they will get an interest, and eventually you can start studying with them. It can also be useful to start up with studies. Okay, two more points, then we are done, and we can have some questions, or someone want to add some more comments and stuff. Number 11, this is, yeah, basically personalize and adapt the studies. What I mean with that is try to, and this is something you will not do perfect in the beginning, but it's good to do it, and you can do it better and better the more you get into giving Bible studies, but I want to mention it since, yeah, to show you a little bit things to have that is good to think about. Try to, for instance, personalize the illustration. Try to, if you have can choose between different illustrations, maybe you take one, this one fits better for this person, or this story, this is perfect for this, you know. That will give more power to it. Or personalize maybe how much content. Some persons you would have a little bit more in-depth, you know, they want that, or they can take that. Some, you need to make it more simple and shorter. You might want to personalize the appeal. Sometimes that's the main difference. Maybe because of the background. If you have a study on the second coming, signs of the second coming with a person that is not really a Christian background at all, the appeal would probably be more like to encourage them to prioritize, you know, Jesus is coming soon, to prioritize to find out, you know, and get to know God. But if it's a Christian, it might be to challenge them to really live a surrendered life, or I don't know, it might be different, you know. So try to adapt maybe an appeal. The order of studies might vary. You know, you have suggested orders in this series of studies. You know, if you take a resource of Bible study series, you know, it's usually an order. But sometimes maybe you change the order a little bit depending on the person's background or faith or so on. And maybe also special circumstance. I remember when I was Bible working in the North, I was studying with this guy that was dying in cancer. Every study I knew, this might be the last study I have with this guy. That made me change the order. You know, I did it differently than I usually did. The study of salvation, I had it much more. I had it earlier than I would normally. I have the circumstances in mind. Adapt it. Don has a good story he shares in one of these workshops. He met this white witch one time. And this witch had a spiritual interest, also a Christian interest, but it was kind of an interesting person, I guess. This person was, during full moon, this person prayed. He prayed to Mother Mary. He had kind of an interest, but they started talking. And Don asked him eventually if he wanted to study the Bible one time. And he said yes, he could come back, you know, to study. But then Don was thinking, what shall I share? This is a white witch. What shall I share with this person? And he was thinking, you know, should I get into the great controversy and talk about Christ and Satan and occultism? Should I share about the state of the dead and say that the Mary he's praying to is not really Mother Mary? Maybe not, right? But he was thinking, what shall I share? But then he noticed that this person had a cat. This white witch had a cat that he believed was his reincarnated dead brother, actually, that helped him in his life. But he saw that this person loved animals, and he didn't even kill flies, actually. So what Dan decided to do, which I think was God inspired him, he decided to prepare a Bible study on how God relates to animals. And he was seeing this amazing truth, you know, how God loves all of creation, how he relates to animals. And when he shared his study, it built such a confidence that they continued to study other topics as well, you know. So adapt it. Try to think, if you know maybe what is this person interested? Maybe this person is really interested in you know, whatever, a particular topic in the Bible. It can be good to start there. And then you can get into other things eventually. It's good also to share relevant, if you know about a particular need to a person or relevant interest or circumstances, you know. Have you ever experienced that you read a story in scripture and one point in life it doesn't really speak much to you? But another time in your life, you're really blessed by that story. You ever experienced that? Probably all of us have, right? And that's how it is, you know. So if you, through God's guidance and prayer and so on, if you can share things that you sense is relevant for this person in this situation that they are in, maybe weave into some Bible text, some promises in your study, they will really be blessed and they will like, wow, this book is speaking to me. It's helping me in my situation, in my time. That will give more power. So again, this is something you learn more eventually. This is, you know, but it's good to really do a perfect Bible study. You know, this is some good things to have in mind. Okay, this leads us to our last point, as we will then wrap up and close up here. Number 12, we simply start. Don't wait until you are an expert. And this is also one of the most important points I can share with you here today. I want to tell you, don't be overwhelmed. I shared quite some things with you. I don't expect you. You don't need to know all these things to start giving Bible studies. What I've told you now, basically you are better prepared than I was, much better prepared than I was with this training than I was when I started giving Bible studies. Don't be overwhelmed. You will not know. You will not do it perfectly. You will not do all of this as you start. But just start. You will not learn before you start. It's when you do it that you really learn it. No one learns. How many of you can swim? How many of you learn to swim by reading a book? It doesn't work, right? You can't learn swimming by reading a book. You learn it while you do it, while you are in the water. Of course, we can prepare and we should prepare. It can be good maybe to practice giving a study with a friend and Adventist before you do it with someone else. You know, that can be useful in the beginning. And it's good to prepare and learn and so on. But you will never master it. You don't really know how to give Bible studies before. It's when you do it that you learn. So don't be overwhelmed. Even though you only do 5% of what I tell you here, probably it will be a better Bible study than the first studies I gave, and God can use it. The first study I gave, I hadn't been trained. I didn't really know how to do it, but I wanted to try to share the word of God. I was inspired to witness and so on. So I got this friend, I got this guy I knew a little bit in my school, a non-Adventist, and I asked him and he said yes to a Bible study. So we sat down. Basically what we did, we just had this Bible study guide or something. We just basically read it through together. Very simple. I would be a little bit embarrassed. I wouldn't want to do it that way today. But that's basically what we did. And I felt like, man, this didn't go so well. I wasn't so happy about it. I wouldn't be so happy about it today. But this guy, after we did this, you know what he said? Hey, he really liked it. And he said, hey, can we do this every day? I was like, what? This was a bad Bible study. But, you know, one of the things that inspired me to get started with Bible studies and also preaching for that matter is this. God can bless a bad Bible study, but he cannot bless a Bible study that does not exist. There is lots of people out there that do not know the Bible. You know 1 million times as much as them probably about the Bible. And you will not do it perfectly, but God can bless your efforts as you sit down, as you pray, as you open the word. God can bless it. He will bless it. But if you don't take that step, if you don't jump into the water, it will never happen. So start. You will do mistakes. I did so many mistakes in Bible studies, in sermon. I still do teaching. I'm embarrassed of some of the things I wouldn't want to watch again, you know, whatever. But I can still see how God used it. And people were touched to tears sometimes and whatever. Decisions were made. And like, man, I did all these mistakes. But still, one other sentence that inspired me, you know, God could speak to a donkey. If he can speak through a donkey, he's probably powerful enough to speak through me through a Bible study or a sermon too. And the same applies to all of us. We are the priesthood of all believers. God wants to use us to share the word. And as we pray for his guidance, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, he will use us. He will speak. It's power in the word. As we open the word, as we share things that we have known since we were maybe small kids, people will be blessed. God will speak to their hearts. he will touch. And you will learn more and more as you do it. Want to share one more story. I was Bible working in this is actually in Arvika in Sweden, west of Sweden. And when I was there, I got to know this lady. She was quite old. She was like about 8 years old. And she was not a Christian. Not only was she not a Christian, she was a Swedish lady, old lady, not a Christian. Not only that, she had actually distanced herself even from Christianity because of hypocrisy and she had seen and bad experience of Christianity. She had actually a negative impression of Christians and the church. So it was not the best situation to try to reach someone, you know, especially when they are so old. It might be even more hard, right? They are set in their thinking and in their ways. But somehow I were able to get to know her with some friends, and they had invited her to dinner. They invited me, so we ate together. We got to know her, and while we talked, you know, we tried to find opportunity to witness to her and share and so on. So eventually as we were there, I basically had a Bible study with her on Daniel 2, and I shared some things that many of us have known from for probably years, right? Things that we know well. And I shared this with her, she was amazed. She was amazed. And she was basically convinced that this is true. She was amazed by this study. She was like, wow, this is true. This is the word of God. She told me that she had never heard anything like this before. She's about 8 years old. She has never heard anything like this before. And she said she had never heard of an Adventist even before. But still, she was old, 80 years old. Still, she was eager to listen and to accept what she heard. And then she said a sentence that I will never forget. She asked us, why has no one told me this before? Why has no one told me this before? And this is one of the most secular countries in the world. There are people everywhere that God wants to reach and that would be open to listen and receive if they just see what we have to share. They are skeptical because they have misconception. But when we start sharing, right, when we are a little bit sneaky and pray for them and get to know them, and you know, God will open doors and God will speak to their hearts. Let's read a few things in the end on the back, last page. Or actually first, I have on the screen, you know, we know this verse. Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest is great. Let's read quote 20. If someone read the bold part of quote 23. Yes, the bold part here.
The Ethiopian represents a large class who need missionaries like Philip. Missionaries who will hear the voice of God and go where he sends them.
And can you also read the bold part of the next quote as well?
24. Yes. All over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. An angel guided Philip to the one who was seeking for light and who was ready to receive the gospel. And today, angels will guide the footsteps of those workers who will allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify their tongues and refine and ennoble their hearts.
Thank you. Powerful quote, isn't it? So it says basically all over the world, there are people longing basically for truth, for God. Does that include Sweden, Norway, Finland, Belgium, whatever we come from? Yes, all over. There are people, God is working in their lives. And it says here, that, but many people need a Philip that comes to them, like the Ethiopian, and that explains the word. And it says, God wants to lead us today, as he led Philip, in touch with these kind of people, and give us the opportunity, basically, to share the word of God with them. And as the well-known verse says, number 22 here, also, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. I have two appeals to you as we close, it's kind of one, but split into points. The first one, I want to encourage you to basically pray that God will lead you to study with at least one person, one non-Adventist, the coming year. We're soon about to enter into a new year, right? So I will encourage you to basically make this your prayer, that you will pray not only once, but that you will pray throughout in the new year. That you will make this your prayer, that God will lead you to start to study the Bible with at least one person. Do you think he could do that? I think he could do that. Like, you give him the opportunity to do that at least if you pray, right? And if it doesn't work, you have at least tried, right? So that's one thing I would encourage you to pray that. And kind of connected with that, which might lead to that answer, is to pray for, say three people. You can pray for more if you want, but say like three people that you know, that maybe you'll think about it sometime, pray about it, like which people should it be, that you will especially pray for in the coming year. And not only that, you will especially try to reach out to them, to connect with them, to meet their needs maybe, to show that you care, to spend social time with them. You'll try to connect with them, become friends with them even more maybe than you are. You'll focus on maybe three people, maybe more. And then the goal, you will try to come to the point eventually, God's timing, when you will try to ask the question or just start sharing, right? You know, non-believers do this all the time. They just start sharing things without asking. When I work with these electricians, this crazy stuff, these immoral things, they just start sharing it boldly. I didn't ask them to. They didn't ask me for permission. If they can do it, let's share good things. You know, be bold for Jesus. Amen. So anyway, but if you pray for God's guidance, pray and God might do miracles in their life. Something may happen that open the opportunity. He will work, I tell you for sure. He will work. There are people. So do you want to basically make that decision? Say that you want to do that the coming year? How many of you want to do that? I want to do that as well. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the amazing privilege of being your ambassadors of the King and Creator of the universe. Lord, what you have given us and done for us is such a treasure. We don't really appreciate it as much as we should many times. Help us to do. Help us to really love you and love the Word and just be so full of it that we just can't keep it to ourselves, and that people will be curious and see what we are so passionate about. Give us enthusiasm. Give us fire in our hearts, in our bones, and give us wisdom and tact, Lord. Help us to be bold, and help us to not be too bold. Help us to be tactful and wait for the right moment. And help us to learn more and more how we effectively can serve you, witness for you, share our testimonies of what you have done in our lives. I pray for each and every one of us here, Lord. Thank you for the people that you will lead us in touch with, to study the Bible with, the coming year. Thank you for the people that will be in heaven as a result of my efforts, their efforts, of every one of our efforts. For the people that we will meet, that accepted Jesus as a result of what you did through us, and through the Holy Spirit's work on their hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the rest of this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.